good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, January 31st, 2022. The month is over, Butch. Good afternoon.
It is.
Well, almost.
A long winter month, and February is a shorter month, and spring in March. I'm happy with that.
I am, too.
You sound so cheerful for Monday. You just like bouncing off the walls. You must got excited about doing a radio show today.
Oh, I am. I miss it. I get bored on the weekends.
You know, after doing all these years, you think you would, a time off once in a while is fun. But after a few days, you do miss doing it. At least I do. I do.
It kind of gets you blood, I guess.
I mean, everybody has something that they do that they enjoy doing. It can be work at times, but that's what makes life worthwhile.
Absolutely. And gold today, we got a little bit of an uptick today for gold, up $690 at $1,799.99. Silver is $99.99. I'm just going to say $1,800.
Silver was flat,
$22.56. Platinum was up $12 at $1,031. Palladium was down $28 at $2,438. No surprise there. That had one heck of a run here of late. The USDX today, it's finally pulled back a little bit, 0.62. I mean, it dropped, 96.61. Crude oil moving up another buck and a half at 88.32. Paper markets today, you have the Dow. And in the month, 400 points, 35,131. The S&P is still posting the worst month since March of 2020. The S&P was up 83 points at 4,515. The NASDAQ, holy smokes, almost 3.5%, 469 points, 14,239. And I'm sure Asia was mixed. Shanghai was negative. The FTSE was negative. Everything else was, it doesn't look like they're going to war, so they're not worried about it. So, hey, I don't know why we would be, Butch.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, our markets aren't either, apparently. So, you know, everything rosy and looking great. I mean, unemployment's low, and everything's just looking so sweet for this country. I mean, inflation, yeah, it's a little bit up, but the Fed's going to fix it. They keep saying they are, so just hang in there.
Oh, yeah, and they always do what they say they're going to do, right?
Well, of course they do.
Yes, they're our friend, right? They're here to help, right?
They wouldn't lie to us any more than the government would.
Oh, my goodness, no. So
anyway.
So what else?
Well, you told me now that
our noses have grown so much.
Yeah, exactly. Now that we've told enough lies for the week. But, you know, I was thinking when you talk about gold, 1,800 per near flat. And I'm getting to think it's going to be the new bottom because it's going to keep going up from there. I mean, they fluctuate around 1790 to 1830 or 40. But eventually it's going to come up and stay above 1800. Just the silver will make it above 24 and stay up there. It'll keep on growing. But gold and silver are consistent value, and that's something people don't think about. I mean, stocks go up and they're highly inflated. But when it comes right down to it, if the market collapses, stocks are going forever. I mean, you can't regrow a stock investment once it's collapsed. You can't do it. But gold and silver is still in your hand, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's still there. That's why it works what's called financial security, folks. It's always there. You may drop in value in the market, but it's still in your hand. You get something tangible to get a hold of. Just like a can of beans or a water filter or something tangible. But anyway, I'll let you go ahead, Mel. I'll be quiet now until you finish up, then I'll start off here.
No, I'm pretty much finished. The news is pretty much Monday news. And I know you wanted to get right into talk a little bit about Russia.
I do.
Russia.
Russia. And, of course, China's still on the back burner. I wouldn't call it back burner at all, but they're still in the picture and talking about different things of Taiwan. But we're going to talk about Russia for a minute here because this is, I guess, some newly developed comments. The U.S. and U.K. are ready to punish Putin associates. if Russia invades Ukraine. Biden said he would punish Putin personally, and now we're going to punish their associates. I've got to ask how they're going to do that. But anyway, the United States and its allies have prepared a list of Russian elites in or near President Vladimir Putin's inner circle to punish with sanctions if Russia sends troops into the Ukraine, a senior U.S. official said on Monday. Britain urged Putin to step back from the brink after the Russian buildup of troops near the Ukraine stoked fears of war. And others also warned that any incursion would trigger sanctions against companies and people who with close links to the Kremlin. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov called the British warning very disturbing, saying it made Britain less attractive to investors and would hurt British companies. You know, that's kind of like tit for tat, isn't it?
Sounds that way.
You know, you punish our people that own companies, we'll punish your companies. That's back and forth, tit for tat. I don't know what that's going to lead to. I don't know. I know on the local news this morning, believe it or not, I got to watch part of that, and they said Russia had withdrew some troops, but they've increased the equipment on the line. I don't know what that means, but I do know this. This comes from the World News Desk. This is just something I just got off about 10 minutes ago. U.S. moving shiploads of heavy armor out of San Diego. Now, that doesn't mean folks could go anywhere in particular, but this is what it says. The United States have begun moving more than 45 M1 Abrams main battle tanks and more than 80 Bradley fighting vehicles from the port of San Diego today. Where in Pacific might the Army be going? The armor above translates to a tank battalion and roughly two mechanized battalions. That's some heavy-duty firepower. The U.S. moves toward mobile war fronts just keep getting worse and worse. The heavy battle armor shown above, it shows a picture of it. It shows it's being loaded on the USNS Bob Hope, which will head out into the Pacific. Where's it go? Is it going to Taiwan? Does it mean war with China? Is it going to Europe? The U.S. East Coast is generally from the European supply would travel. I don't know, folks, but we need to open our eyes because this is all this action is leading to something. I pray there'll be common sense talks that will settle down and make it right. We have no business as Americans to want to invite NATO, Ukraine or Georgia into NATO. But when Russia says don't, they were Russian satellites. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens. Yes, we're moving heavy armor out of San Diego. That's the wrong coast for Russia. Is it going to Taiwan? I don't know, folks. That's a good question. Only time will tell. And I wish I had some answer in that, Melody, but I don't, because there's so much saber rattling going on. I'm beginning to wonder what is really going on behind the scenes. Who's talking about what? Are we really trying to figure this out? Are we just pushing harder towards war? Is this war idea keeping the people in line somewhat because of fear of going to war? I don't understand how this is going together. Do you?
You know, no, I don't. And then you just can't forget about the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
So, particularly when it's in China. And so I can't imagine Russia doing anything to disturb their relationship with China in any form unless it is agreed upon with China. You know, so you don't know what these meetings, you know, these telephone conversations between Putin and Biden. You don't know where the line has been drawn. We're just not privy to these things. So, but you can, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, you know, and then you're going to have to ask yourself, well, how is Russia really going to, jeopardize their relationship with Europe and with the natural gas. Germany's really not saying anything. Germany is kind of staying out of it. We can't even do anything because Ukraine's not a NATO nation. So we shouldn't be doing anything anyway. You know, and sanctions anymore. Everybody says that sanctions work. Well, do they?
Well, you know? I do know that sanctions can cause war. Now, that's happened before. So I really don't know what's going to happen with this, Mel. This keeps going on and on. It's like a festering boil. You know, if you don't lance, it's going to blow up anyway.
Something you know, and the scariest thing isn't Russia going into Ukraine. The scariest thing is having Biden in office and not knowing who's really running the show.
Oh, yes.
That's the scariest thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're getting a little further in some of these articles. We'll be discussing some more of this situation with Russia and an article that written by Greg Hunter that's very interesting. This comes from Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff said, consumers are concerned, investors are clueless. Is Bitcoin an inflation hedge? Peter Schiff recently appeared on RT Boom and Bust with Natalie Brunel of Coin Stories to discuss inflation, whether Bitcoin is a hedge. Peter said that Bitcoin is not an inflation hedge. He called it a speculative token with its price driven by supply and demand. But what about gold? It didn't perform like an inflation hedge in 2021, despite the inflation freight train. Peter said the reason gold has some problems is because the market wrongly believes the Fed. They believe the Powell, when he says he's going to do whatever it takes to bring inflation back down 2%, he's going to raise interest rates, he's going to start shrinking the balance sheet, and the markets are believing Powell. But I think he's just bluffing. And even if he follows through with the rate hikes he's promised, that's too little, too late. It's not going to be nearly enough to slow down inflation, and so it's not going to be to restrain gold. The type of rates, hikes, and balance sheet reduction necessary to get ahead of this inflation curve would be too much for the bubble economy to bear. If Powell actually tried to fight inflation, he would destroy the bubble economy. Folks, let that sink in a minute. If Powell actually tried to fight inflation, he would destroy the bubble economy. The stock market would crash. We'd be in a massive recession, lots of unemployment, a huge financial crisis, and we would force the government into insolvency. Once the markets come into terms with reality, they're going to be buying gold. I think he's right on. I don't think it's fixable, Melody. At least not enough to really turn this freight trade around or going down the track. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see him doing anything. They raise rates. It's going to cause things to slow down. If they don't raise it, they're kind of caught between two hard places here. But I think Schiff is right. I think once they realize Bitcoin isn't going to work and the markets aren't going to make it, they're going to start buying gold. I do believe that. And, of course, a lot of investors are buying gold, but they're not doing it out in the open and talking about it a lot. But we know central banks have been buying gold for a long time. Why would they buy it if they didn't think they would need it? Is that a fair question?
I mean, the central banks, I mean, that's in their, I don't know, their constitutions, their, you know, the banking. I mean, they have to have gold, you know. Of course, they can sell some off and so forth, but the majority of them, your central banks are going to carry gold, and your countries are going to have gold and so forth. But the thing of it is, hold on, let me turn that phone down. You're really going to see gold react and people get into gold when you've got major moves in panic. I mean, why would anybody panic when you've got the Federal Reserve out there and, you know, pumping everything into the system in order to keep it going, along with the multinational corporations and everybody else, you know, from buying back their shares from, you know, I mean, it's the system does not function. It can't function without all of these injections coming from various places. So people have become very complacent, and they have been brainwashed, just like everything else, that the market will always come back. And to some degree, they've been brainwashed, and it has happened. I mean, we saw the market Dow get down to 6,000, and, you know, good Lord, look where it's at today. And all, that also is part of inflation. And so gold is not going to go away. But when, you know, and if it really does react a lot to the dollar, the tie to the dollar. I'm surprised it only did what it did today when you have the dollar hit as hard as it was today, but it had a nice run. So, it Butch, people are trying to think that gold should always have knee-jerk reactions and so forth, and it's like it's just not going to work that way.
No.
You need that fear-driven panic. And if you believe we're going to have that, if you believe that the system is corrupt, the system is broken, and that eventually we will, and forget that you're losing against inflation every day. Forget about that, but you are. But if you're looking for the big one, you know, if you're looking for that big tornado, the big storm, when it all collapses and so forth, you know, it's coming, but we just don't know when.
Well, you know, I can remember this back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when the Dow was hitting close to 8,000. Mm-hmm. That's not been forever ago. Now it's 35,000. Most, I would say 80% of that is based on inflation, folks. That's how much inflation has come in this country in the last 20 years. I know we don't see it all at once, so we absorb it and don't think much about it. But now that inflation is picking up a little bit of speed, we're starting to notice even more. And I will tell you that from sources I have coming in here, and to me, we're going to see things happen this year that we're not going to dream ever could ever happen in America. We're going to see food shortages like you won't believe. We're going to see food prices, grain and meat and everything else, poultry going through the roof this year, folks. I'm going to say that right now. You know, if I'm wrong at the end of the year, I'll apologize for it, but I don't think we're going to be wrong at all. I don't. After the break, I want to start an article. It's going to be a little bit lengthy, so I don't want to start to after the break, but we're going to talk about Paul Craig Roberts wrote this. This is just madness. Paul Craig Roberts warns America is very unstable. And I want to read that article because it's so important. It's a very well written. This, by the way, is via Greg Hunter's watchdog.com. So I have a lot of comments on what Greg is saying in a lot of different areas, especially economically. So we're going to share that at the break. But I want you to see how shaky America truly is. I mean, my goodness, Melody, in my whole lifetime, I've never seen America so unstable in every way possible. Not just economically, but morally how else can put it? Even with the backbone to stand for what's right and to support our allies, America has lost about everything. They've lost their respect. They've lost their position as number one in the world to be the nation that everybody wanted to go to, and it's lost a lot. And it isn't turning around right now. But we have leaders, and I'm not. Biden's Biden. I can't help it. He's not a leader. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for the man. His mind is not good. It's not well. But I'm not bragging on Trump either. He caused more division in this country than I've ever seen. But nonetheless, America is unstable in every way possible, and we're being tossed around like a chip of wood on an ocean wave. No one knows what's going to happen next. All I can say is prepare yourself as fast as you can, as soon as you can. And don't wait much longer, because this year you're going to see things happen that you're not going to believe in America. So we're going to break, and go ahead, Melody.
Yep, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Butch, you have something that you want to share with us.
I do, but I got to let the folks know what we were talking about during the break, if you don't mind, because I think this is important and kind of amusing. We were talking about old times, folks, and I'm going to mention some names here, and most of you don't even know who I'm talking about. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they had this big cardboard cutout of John Wayne in the corner of a restaurant. And somebody asked me, who was John Wayne? And I just stunned. You know, I have my real teeth. They slipped from my mouth. I mean, I was stunned. They don't know who John Wayne is. Talking to a guy the other day, my back hurt the other day. I was limping pretty bad. And I say, I'm limping like Amos McCoy and Real McCoys. And who? Walter Brennan. Who? I mean, we're telling our age here. I know I am. But this is to me, it stunned me. Nobody, especially John Wayne. Come on, people. I mean, gee. But anyway, I want to show. That's what we're talking about. Going back in memory times. Yeah, we were. So it's good to think about these things once in a while. It takes the pressure off what's happening in the world today. Is that not true, Melody?
And it shows that we still have a memory.
It does.
We can still remember
history, but I remember, 40 years ago, but history I forgot. This is just madness. Paul Craig Roberts warns America is very unstable. International award-winning journalist and former assistant treasury secretary Dr. Paul Craig Roberts says data showed between COVID-19 policies and the policies surrounding Russia that America is very unstable. Let's start with the NATO talks with Russia over Ukraine that broke down in a diplomatic disaster last week. There is a real possibility of nuclear war with Russia. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts explains, the West is continually antagonizing Russia, primarily referring to Ukraine, Georgia, and Kazakhstan. This will eventually lead to some kind of conflict. If it is a conventional war, the West does not have a chance. No chance whatsoever. So what would Washington do when it's faced with a massive defeat? It would save face by restoring to nukes. That's the way Washington is. So it's very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous to make the Russians feel threatened. And when they tell you, Washington, D.C. tells you that you ignore it. You don't hear. You don't make them feel more threatened. This is just madness, and it opens up the prospects of military confrontation. I guarantee you that the Russians are not going to allow NATO to take in Ukraine and Georgia. They simply will not, and it cannot be done. We're not prepared for military confrontation with Russia, and much less with Russia and China. Last week, the Russian government publicly said it thought the Biden administration was having a nervous breakdown, which was indeed a huge insult. Now, I like that. The Russian government said they thought Biden was having a nervous breakdown. I guess it would be an insult. The other huge problem is the CV-19 policies, which shutdowns and coerced experimental injections. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts says the whole COVID thing is a hoax. It's all been for nothing, and it's unnecessary. But they're sticking with it. They're sticking with it despite the fact that it's now conclusively proven that what the vaccine does is turn your own immune systems into a weapon against your own body. The vaccine causes your immune system to attack your own vital organs. That's why you have these vaccine injuries and deaths, and it does not protect you from COVID. Yet they still want to continue it. It's another form of insanity. Now, almost that article, I stopped. That's one I want to share with Paul Craig Roberts. I stopped on that one. This next one is by Michael Snyder. I think it's even a little bit longer, but it's in more detail what's happening economically. But I think Roberts is right. I think we're pushing too many buttons. in the wrong places. And I don't know how much more the nations like Russia and China are going to tolerate. I don't know, folks. Let's face it. Between both of them against us, it'd be a disaster. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, not at all.
This comes from, again, Michael Snyder. Farming Insider warns that the coming food shortages are going to be far worse than we're being told. The information that I'm about to share with you is extremely alarming, but I've always endeavored to never sugarcoat things for my readers. Right now, there are shortages of certain items in grocery stores across the United States, and food supplies have gotten very tight all over the globe. Mel, to make this comment, we went to the store yesterday. Marcia called in order to Food Lion, and they substituted quite a few products because they didn't have the kind we wanted. Are you finding where you're at also?
Yes, remember I was telling you I was going into, yes, have to look for a pot roast. I went to the store today. They actually had them today. So three visits to the store, only one out of those three visits had meat, had pot roasts.
Wow. Folks, it started. He says, I had repeatedly warned that this is just the beginning, but I didn't realize how dire things have already gotten until I received an email from a farming insider that I have corresponded with over the years. I asked him if I could publicly share some of his information that he's sharing with me, and he said that would be okay as long as I kept his name out of it. According to this Farming Insider, the dramatically increased cost for fertilizer will make it impossible, now folks pay attention, impossible for farmers to profitably plant corn this year. Now you say, well, what's corn going to do? What's corn? Folks, corn is everything. We not only consume it in our meals, in our breads, and we feed the animals. This is huge. The following is an excerpt from an email that he recently sent me. Things for 2022 are interesting and scary. Input costs for things like fertilizer, liquid nitrogen, and seeds are like triple and quadruple the old prices. It will not be profitable to plant this year. Let me repeat. The economies will not work. I'm sorry, economics will not work. Our plan is to drop about 700 acres of corn off and convert to soybeans. They use less fertilizer, and we also have chicken manure from that operation. Guess what? We are not the only ones with those plans. Already there is a shortage of soybean seeds, so we'll see how that will work out. The way I see it, there will be a major grain shortage later this year, especially with corn. I mean, we are small with that, but what about these people in the Midwest who have like 10,000 acres of corn? This will not be good. Once I received that message, I wrote him back with some questions that I had. In response, he explained or expanded on his comments in a subsequent email. As for the farming, I see it getting bad. Things like fertilizer and liquid nitrogen have tripled and quadrupled in price. If commodity prices are up, but that certainly won't cover the new increased input costs. We are in North Carolina, so I'm certainly not like the Midwest. We still grow grain. The Midwest, of course, will have these same higher input costs as well. Corn, for example, typically takes about 600 pounds of fertilizer per acre, plus 50 gallons of liquid nitrogen. Folks, that's a lot. I had no idea it took that much to grow an acre of corn. But anyway, times that by many acres, and that's a lot of money. Soybeans take much less. The plan for us and most others around here is to drastically cut corn acres and switch to soybeans. Problem is, there's apparently a soybean seed shortage because others have this plan as well. We were lucky enough to pre-buy enough to do it. However, most people, especially younger farmers, or farmers where that is all they do, probably don't have the money to front like that. The way I see it, a corn shortage will come. I guess there could possibly be a glut of soybeans, but remember, that could depend on the seed being available. I guess there are other alternatives, maybe a milo, oats, or barley. Of course, the corn market is much larger. Think animal feed and ethanol. I mean, for animals, soybeans are used to, but it's a mix. What happens to the animal producers who depend on reasonably priced corn? I just don't see how it can end well. I mean, even if we end up with plenty of soybeans, even a glut, you have a busting market for that. I don't know. There just isn't much history to base any of this on. I just see it hurting both grain farmers and animal farmers, and also translating to more shortages and price increases for consumers who buy the end products. I was stunned when I first read that. Of course, fertilizer prices are going to the roof here in the United States. In South America, high fertilizer prices are also going to dramatically affect coffee production. Cristina Ribeiro de Val, who comes from a long line of coffee growers in Brazil, is this year paying three times what she paid last year for the fertilizer she needs. Coupled with a recent drought that hit her crop hard, it means Miss de Val, 75, will produce a fraction of her Ribeiro de Val brand of coffee, some of which is exported. There's also a shortage of fertilizer. This year you pay, then you put your name on a waiting list, and supplier delivers it when he has it. If you love to drink coffee this morning, you will soon be paying much more for that privilege. I noticed the price of coffee on Melody. I like a cup of coffee in the morning. I've seen it raise already. We will see. Now I'm going to skip down a little bit through this article here. Where in the world are we going to get enough food to replace the food of needs of 100 million people? This is beyond serious. Basically, the stage is being set for a sort of a historical global crisis that I've been relentlessly warning people about. Many Americans had assumed that even if the rest of the world was suffering, that we would be immune. And Mel, that's been our mindset for many, many years. The whole world suffers. America never does. America's always got plenty. We've always had plenty. We are soft. We're spoiled. This is America today. It would shock us, as it did you, to go buy a roast and couldn't find one in three stores. That's a shocking development in America, folks. It truly is. And if they do have it, when the prices go up 3-4 times what it is, how are you going to buy it? I know people right now, personally, I know people right now that are making soup without meat because they can't afford the meat. We may have to get used to that. But now there are widespread shortages all over the nation. And the Wall Street Journal just published a major article entitled, U.S. Food Supply is Under Pressure from Plants to Store Shelves. This is really happening. In Washington, D.C., the residents are being instructed to just not pay attention to this, folks. In Washington, D.C., the residents are being instructed to just buy what you need and leave some for others. Melody, before I continue, what's that mean to you?
Well, they're already prepping, conditioning.
Yes. Yeah. Buy what you need and leave some for others. So, maybe, folks, we need to pay attention. Maybe this is just prepping us. Maybe this is just brainwashing us to want to be used to this. I don't know. But this could be for real, and I think it is. If you're hitting the grocery store to prepare for winter weather, please just buy what you need and leave some for others. You may have noticed empty shelves in some stores due to national supply chain issues. But there's no need to buy more than you normally would. What would have been unimaginable just a few years ago is now making headlines on a daily basis. Of course, it isn't just our food supply that's under threat. As Victor Davis Hanson has aptly noted, a country is now in the process of undergoing a systems collapse. In modern times, as ancient Rome, several nations have suffered a symptoms collapse. The term describes a sudden inability of once prosperous populations to continue with what had ensured the good life as they knew it. Abruptly, the population cannot buy or even find one's plentiful necessities. They feel their streets are unsafe. Laws are going unenforced or enforced inequitably. Every day, things stop working. The government turns from reliable to conspicuous, if not hostile. A lot of people are going to be caught off guard by the pace of things. Things are shifting so rapidly that it really is hard to keep up with all of it unless you are paying very close attention. Now that you have been exposed to information in this article, folks, this is not a drill. We really are heading into a nightmare scenario, and I strongly urge you to act accordingly. So, are we seeing this, people, or not? Are we seeing this? Are we not seeing that our system is collapsing? Not just with food and economics, but with law enforcement and lack of morality in the nation, and a breakdown of the cities, inner cities falling apart because of crime. Are we not seeing that? Is this not really what's happening? Are we not seeing homeless people gathering up in streets and actually using the streets for the bathrooms? And the law says they can't do anything about that. There's nothing wrong with that. They let it go. We let shoplifters go into stores in California and shoplift. No one tries to arrest them or stop them. Because the law enforcement doesn't care. Are we not seeing a breakdown of society? Are we not seeing a breakdown of the fiber that once held us together as a nation? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when food does get scarce? When they go to the store to even steal it and can't find it? Then what? Any comments, Melody?
No, and I was just thinking the reason they probably had product there today at the grocery store was because people couldn't go out and shop this weekend because everybody was snowed in. So maybe that's why they had. But, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about the seed shortage, the soy seed shortage, I'm thinking, well, you know who controls those? You have these conglomerates that control them.
That's
true. Monsantos of the world. They control all those seeds.
That's very true.
So, you know, so again, is it by design? And there's a shortage. You know, it's...
Go ahead.
No, that just had popped into, you know, what I was thinking when you were talking about that. They control, you know, these multinational corporations, these food conglomerates and so forth, they seem to control everything. And they do it, and they do a great job for the government.
They do. And of course,
and they're the ones who get
all
the subsidies. Yeah, they get all the subsidies.
Yes.
They get all the money from government, the taxpayers. I mean, it's like we fund our own demise. We fund our own disasters. We fund our own.
Yes, we do.
It's just like, you know.
We really do. And the folks, I don't want to be a conspiracy nut here, but I do believe that the powers that be and the corporations are hand in hand in this. I mean, if there's a famine,
sure,
it's being caused for a purpose. You can believe that. That's worldwide. When people go in the store and they're going to steal a loaf of bread and can't find any bread, you're going to be upset. I mean, that's just the way it is. This is America today, and this year is going to prove a lot more, I don't like to use the word deadly, but a lot more threatening than last year ever did. And I do believe it's coming up on a very, very close time for this to happen. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, we're just about heading into a break here, so but some very good points there. And just, you know, anybody has to do is take a look around. You know, if you think that it's normal, but it isn't normal.
No, it's not normal.
And
there's not much anymore that is
normal.
And
it's not temporary either.
No, it's not. No. It's not going to be fixed this time, folks. Not like you and I thought it'd be fixed.
You can't shut down governments, economies around the world, and this goes back to the beginning of 2020, and expect a great outcome. We'll be right back.
Whippoorwill in the willow sings a sweet melody, riding to
Amarillo.
Amarillo,
just my rifle, pony, and me.
No more cow,
to be roping.
No more stray, will I see.
Round the bend,
she'll be waiting,
for my rifle, pony, and me. Oh, my rifle, my pony, and me.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time and I'll explain. Have you seen the Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachia mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as you rush into the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg, or struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons, or watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I have a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
I got goosebumps on that one, Butch.
John Wayne. I remember when he did that. That's been back in, I think, in 60s maybe. I don't remember. That has been going back a while. And I remember that really meant something to people, and it'll give you goosebumps.
Yes, it really does. Would. Why I Love America, you know, by John Wayne. Very nice. Nice way. Thank you, Todd.
Yes, Todd. Thank you. That was very good. Thank you. Well, you know, sometimes he's a pretty good producer.
Yeah, well, his head's going to get big, you know, so we can't, you know.
But anyway, it's refreshing to hear that. And that song you played going
very
out last
much.
Time, you know, I mean, the song you played on that was Rio Bravo. It was out of John Wayne and Rick Nelson and Dean Martin singing that song, and Walter Brennan whistling in the background. These were different times, folks. That's all I can say, different times. Simpler times. Maybe I'm sure the corruption was well implanted in the country then, but it hadn't bled through to the outside of the nation yet. The sewer hadn't leaked into the homes of the people. Unfortunately, that's been a long time ago. The sewer is now openly in sight. Everywhere we go, and we smell it. The stench of it is in our nostrils all day long. But that's the America I grew up in back in those days, when America used to mean something of moral virtue and somewhat, at least on the outside, a character of of integrity.
There was also an innocence, maybe? Was there an innocence?
Oh, yes. The first book I wrote, the chapter in was The Last Decade of Innocence, 1950s, The Last Decade of Innocence. You know, this is changing my lifetime to the point it almost makes me want to cry. But it is what it is. Unfortunately, we sat back and watched it happen. While we were making a living, they snuck up behind us and took it away from us, folks. Whether we were struggling to make it and get ahead and get our eyes off what our leaders were doing, because we trusted them maybe more than we should have. And now we're paying for that. Our children will pay more than we have, and our grandchildren more than that. But back to reality. We all heard what Biden said about who he wants to appoint for the next Supreme Court justice. No, nothing but a black woman. Or call it, we'll say a woman of color, maybe not black, maybe Hispanic. But he wants nothing. That's all he's going to look at it. He's not interested in anybody else. 76% of Americans don't like that. He said he'll by the end of February. He might. Got a month ago yet. But he said that's the only choice I'm going to have is from a woman of color. And it's got to be a woman and be of a minority. So we will see. We will see. But I always thought, Melody, that we're supposed to select the Supreme Court justices of those of moral integrity, constitutional knowledge, and a common sense value system. Didn't you always think that?
Well, the key thing should be constitutional knowledge, period. And it baffles me. And at least 70-some percent... or saying something, or, you know, at least completed a survey saying that they're unhappy with those choice of words and who will be. And, you know, it's funny. It isn't about a Democrat or a Republic. It's not being displayed that way. And so, again, how racist is that?
Without knowledge of the Constitution and a moral basis to build that on, you have nothing left to build on. And unfortunately, that's being lost in this. Totally lost. It's a disgrace. But that's America today. That's why if John Wayne were alive today, he may have a hard time saying that again, what you said in that recitation right there. But moving on, U.S. Congresswoman Claudia Tenney calls for Biden's impeachment due to secret flights of illegal aliens from southern border to northeast. And I got to make this comment again, folks. This has been going on for years. It's been going on for years. The Bush did it. The Obama did it. It's been going on for years. It kept on going under Trump even. It didn't stop. Maybe he didn't know about it. I can't say that. But she wants to impeach him. I'll go for it. I don't blame you. But as we reported in late December and early January, there are numerous charter flights into the Northeast coming from the southern border full of illegal immigrants. Now, at least one New York congressman is calling for Biden's impeachment. In early January, we reported that on the charter flights on World Atlantic, that the government is using to move illegals from the southern border to the U.S. We identified numerous flights on this one airline from the southern border to northeast. We reported on some of the individuals eventually landing at New York City Adoption Agency. Now, according to the Western Journal, one New York Republican congresswoman is calling for President Joe Biden's impeachment for sending illegal immigrants into the interior of the U.S., while another has accused him of effectively aiding and abetting these lawbreakers. Representatives Claudia Tenney and Nicole Malotakis railed against the administration Thursday on Fox News after a leaked video showed the federal contractors flying illegal immigrants into a suburban New York airport. I had no problem with that. I don't. Good for them. Go for it. That's treason. That's worse than treason. That's destroying the infrastructure of our country. Yeah, he got caught. Maybe this is why he was chosen when he got caught. I don't know. It's been going on for at least 20, 25 years, maybe longer. But he got caught. So he got caught. He's the one with the cookie in the jar. Impeach him. Others got by with it. I can say it's good for them. They got by with it. But Biden got caught, perhaps. And I see nothing wrong with him impeaching for this. But it's just... Melody, we have a tendency to point our fingers at the one that we want to pick out to accuse when they've been guilty of it for many, many years, have they not?
But you know what? I think in the past years, there was always this, you know, a little bit of pretense that, you know, at least they mouthed the, you know, that they were trying to do something and so forth. Now it's just... mean, now it's just
out in the open.
Wide open. Just and not even allowing the agents to do their jobs, telling them to stand down. You know, letting these people fly all over this country with their little arrest warrants. I mean, what is going on is just unbelievable. And there's more people I've heard coming from the Middle East and so forth than there is from the Latin American countries.
Yes.
And they're men. You see some pictures that are just done for, you know, to keep everybody happy of families. But it's not. And no one, the Republicans are just as bad. There isn't anyone saying anything about it. It's amazing.
Well, this Congress lady, first when I heard mention it, I mean, really, yeah. This it is amazing. It is. It is.
I mean, they have their sound bites on their Fox News and so forth, but that's not that doesn't mean a hill of beans. You know, but so kudos to her.
Yes, amen. And on the good news side, South Carolina proposes law to make it illegal to request vaccination status. Legislators in South Carolina are commended in their application of legislation to stop the apartheid in the state. This proves that states have the power to override mandates and outside dictates from the federal government as well as industry. Medical technocrats will be grinding their teeth over this as it forces them to get back to legitimate health care. A newly proposed South Carolina law would make it illegal for certain institutions to ask a person for the COVID-19 vaccination status. The government has no place in making you or telling you to take the vaccination or threatening your livelihood if you don't, said Representative William Chumley, a co-sponsor of the bill known as H4848. A representative of a public, private, or nonprofit entity who asks about a person's COVID-19 vaccination status should be fined more than $14,000 or imprisoned not more than a year for 1 year or both, according to the text of the bill. South Carolina didn't want to get into this fight, Chumley told the local media outlets. It was brought to us by the federal government. And hey, men to them. God bless them. States' rights. Make them pay for this. Good, good, good. That's the only thing you do. And states, folks, whether people know this or not, have more authority than the federal government. The states form the federal government. And that which is created is not greater than the creator. States have states were to be sovereign. 50 sovereign nations working together in a common guideline under the federal laws that would keep the states working together, but not for the federal laws to encroach upon states. Article, please, folks, read Article 10 of the Bill of Rights. States are the authority of the Fed, not the other way around. The way it got turned around was very simple. The Fed started sending funds to the state, and as long as the states towed the line, they got free money. Yeah, that's called free money from the Fed. So the states sold themselves to the Fed. That's what it boils down to. They become little harlots. They sell themselves to the states, the federal government, so they'll follow the federal laws to keep the money coming in. Now the states starting to see there's a catch to this, and some of them like South Carolina are starting to say, enough is enough. We're not going to do this any longer. We're not going to play this game anymore. Any comments, Melody?
Nope. It's all true.
It is true. That's all. It is true. I wish it weren't, but it is. And I have a solution, too, when the Fed says, well, we're not going to send any more money. My solution would be, all right, Mr. President, don't send us anything. We'll keep the federal taxes that our employers pay in the state. We'll keep them in our state then and fund ourselves. Yep. How's that for a deal?
Yeah. Sounds like
that
a plan.
Work.
Yeah,
I think so. It would work. I mean, go ahead and look them in the face and tell them, come on in, boys. We're here. We're taking care of ourselves. And some more common sense. In Copenhagen, Denmark, the Finns have decided to end the virus restrictions next month. I guess that's tomorrow. Finland will end all COVID-19 restrictions next month, Prime Minister Sanna Marin said Monday. So this is a good sign. Some nations starting to get their eyes open what's going on and saying that enough is enough. We're going to stop it. I think that's wonderful. We're starting to see some common sense come out of the people that have had enough. They're tired of it. They're just sick of it, Melody. And I can understand
why. What's their vaccination rate?
It didn't say in the article. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably 100%.
It could be. I don't know, but they're going to let foreigners come
it's
in
European.
Now that are
it's
vaccinated. European. So we'll see. I don't know. But I do know that the trucking the trucking protest in Ottawa is huge. American truckers are not crossing the border going into Canada to help them. And now they're going to move into Washington, D.C. next, understand. Now, this is not taking place yet, obviously. When we're through in Ottawa, they said they're going to move into Washington, D.C. I know that Trudeau left Ottawa. He's no longer there. When this started coming in, he left. I understand he has a safe haven somewhere in this country. He left there because he didn't want to face all these people. Now, farmers have joined him. There are lines and lines of tractors along the highway in Ottawa. The people are getting mad. Thank God for Canadians with enough courage to stand up. I really appreciate them. I really do. Melody, what do you want to say about our time?
No, I think it's a good thing that they're doing, and very little coverage on mainstream media, unfortunately.
Yes.
And but what else is new? So not quite sure what they'll be able to accomplish, but kudos.
I agree, and I think we should at least folks pray for them. But some
yes.
of our truckers are joining them. God bless them what they're doing. And folks,
yes.
prepare yourself. Call Melody, prepare yourself. Go ahead, Melody.
1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.